It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fred and Chrissy, they both came to Miss Kelly for help. They both were having headaches, bad headaches that just wouldn't go away. And then the nightmares, trouble sleeping. They'd wake up in a cold sweat, and then they started seeing things. Bad things from their past. And these visions, they kept on getting worse and worse until eventually everything ended.
Beckna's curse.
Chrissy's headache started a week ago. Fred, 6 days ago. I've been having them for 5 days. I don't know how long I have. All I know is that for Fred and Chrissy, they both died less than 24 hours after their first vision. And I just saw that goddamn clock, so. Looks like I'm gonna die tomorrow.
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together, forever, we're loving stranger things. It's Stranger Things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to Stranger Things Forever. I am very happy to be kicking off another episode of Stranger Things with another block of Stranger Things Forever, as today we finally get started into Chapter 4 of Stranger Things 4. Dear Billy, it's crazy. It's going to take us a little while to get to the ending. But oh, what an ending this episode has. What an amazing ending this episode has. But we'll be running uphill until we get there. Because of course, if you're new to this podcast, which, come on, if you're listening to this episode, I'm not saying it's impossible for you to be new to this podcast. But I feel like if you're new to this podcast, maybe you didn't start with this episode. So you already know that the Stranger Things Forever project is a rewatch 10 minutes at a time of Stranger Things 4 until we finish. And me being, you know, a procrastinator and having a bunch of other interests and different shows that I work on, I started this over a year ago and I've gotten through three bleeping, sorry for the swearing, I'm just going to censor myself, bleeping episodes, three episodes. So now it's time crunch time. Time crunch time? Yeah, that works. Now it's time to buckle up and focus and really get to these episodes, get through these episodes and talk about Stranger Things for 10 minutes at a time. I want to have more episodes coming out every week because we're running out of time. I have to be done this by November. I said it to my niece yesterday. I said November 26th. She's like, November 25th, Uncle. I'm like, yes. I have to be done by then. Of course. And I will do whatever it takes to get there. Whatever it takes. She is rewatching Stranger Things 4. Actually, she's just about finished the rewatch. She's not podcasting about it though, but I feel like I should get her thoughts. Well, you know, here's the thing. We will be spending Thanksgiving together. So there's definitely going to be some talking about the first episode. We will be spending Christmas together. So there's going to be a lot of talking. In fact, we were joking that everyone else is going to be eating and we're going to have our phones and be staring at our phones under the table, talking and watching more Stranger Things. I mean, to be honest, my parents, they'll watch it. They probably forget everything. They're like, the kids are so old now. They do that joke, but they'll watch it. They've seen it all. I don't know if my niece's mother, my sister-in-law watches it. I know my wife doesn't watch it. I know my mother-in-law doesn't know what it is. And I know my brother, I'm almost positive my brother does watch it. I don't think my nephew does. Maybe he should. Nephew, you're not listening, but gosh darn it. Again, I don't like to cuss in front of these kids, but gosh darn it, you should watch it because everyone here is watching it. Everyone listening to this podcast right now watches Stranger Things. So don't you think my nephew should too? I mean, come on. So, speaking of Stranger Things, right? That could be the name of a podcast. Speaking of, and you could talk about anything. Last night, if you're listening to this, the day it came out, which is September 15th, last night was the Emmy Awards. And no Stranger Things because Stranger Things hasn't been around for a while, but I have a feeling next year there'll be something. Even if it's a technical award, they'll get something, darn it. But there was a commercial for Stranger Things 5, and I guess the big hullabaloo is that it said TVMA for the rating. So it shifted from TV-14, which I guess, is that like the version of PG? Well, wouldn't that be PG-13? To TVMA, which I guess is their version of rated R? So, interesting. That means it's going to be, I assume it's for violence and gore. That's what I'm expecting. But there's been a lot of violence and gore there. Will it be worse language, perhaps? Will Hopper finally say all those F-words he's wanted to say? I don't know. But it should be interesting to see what TVMA means in the Stranger Things world. Maybe it means an MA award next year. MA awards. Boom, I brought it back. That worked. Amazing. Awesome. Thank you. And you're welcome. But I typed in Stranger Things into Google News. That's my way of finding out things, but not wanting to find out too much, just to see the headlines. When I talked to you last time, I mentioned a comment that came in from Alex, and Alex mentioned that, something about Stranger Things theories. And I said, I really don't know any. And Alex wrote back and said, I don't know that many either, except for the ones I also believe in. I don't know if you've heard about the ship between Mike and Will dubbed Byler. Byler. Essentially, it's believed that Mike and Will be in a romantic relationship at some point in season 5. The Byler proof slideshow on Google can help give you an overview. So I don't know anything about that. I mean, just based on what I'm reading right here, we all watched Stranger Things 4, and we pretty much see what Will wanted, what he hoped for with Mike. Just based on what I'm reading here, it definitely feels like, you know, it's some sort of fan, not only just fan theory, fan want. The fans want this so bad that they're turning it into a theory. That's my guess. I mean, Mike is in love with Eleven. And I feel like that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it is. Now, if you're listening and you're saying, what the hell's a ship? Well, I have to tell you, I actually know. I feel like I shouldn't know. I feel like I should be one of those old people be like, what do you mean a ship? They got like a boat, like the good ship Lollipop. But I actually learned the term. We're going back many years, like almost 20 years. I was listening to, well, maybe not, you know, close to 20 years, 18, 17 years. I was listening to what else? A podcast about Smallville. And it's a podcast that was called The House of L. It was a Smallville podcast. And they talked about shipper relationships. And I was like, what in the hell does that mean? And I had to look it up. That, you know, I also had to look up what meet cute was, but I figured that out. Shipper is short for relationship, and it's basically the fans, right? Is it the fans' idea of, I wish these two characters were in a relationship, and it would give them the name, like Byler, which is, wait, what is it? Byers and Wheeler? Byler? I would have said Beeler or Wires. Byler. Because you don't get enough Wheeler. You don't get enough of the Wheeler. I would call it, I'd call it Beeler. I don't know. Either way, it's, I think with Smallville, it was called Clois, with like Clark and Lois, or Klana, or I couldn't think of, I was trying to think of a silly one. And I mean, it's also like when they call it, you know, like Jennifer or Bennifer, you know, when they take the two people and they put their names together, that's basically it right there. So that's what they're doing here with Mike and Will. But again, I have not seen any theories like that. And I have to be honest with you. I don't know if I want to hunt for theories. If people were to present them for me and say, what do you think of this theory? I'd be like, oh, I give my thoughts on it maybe, but I almost don't want to look things up as far as theories and present those to the shows. Like, here are the top five theories that people have. Only because I don't want that to cloud my watching of the show. So I have a friend who won't even watch trailers for anything anymore. He wants to be completely, you know, he knows about the movie. Great. Here's the premise. Great. The actors, the star, whatever. I am to the point where I will watch a trailer, but I don't want to read anything spoilery at all. Where my wife, I think my wife will like sometimes look at the end of the book. She wants to know if the couple will fall in love. Spoiler alert, in every one of her books and every one of her movies, they fall in love. So, but I don't, I'm a guy who, when I read the book, I put my hand over half the page sometimes because I don't want to accidentally look down and be spoiled by any words that say anything. So if I were to look up a theory or find a theory, you know, and again, if someone presented it to me, I'm not like active, I'm not like, no, I can't look away, but I'm not actively looking them up. So I don't want to be like, someone thinks that Hopper is going to blah, blah, blah. And then I'd be like, oh, here it comes. Oh no. Oh, is this going to happen? Is there, like, I almost want to be, I don't want anything besides the trailer, because again, I watch the trailers, but I don't want anything to sway my viewing in any direction, like, oh, here it comes, or they didn't do this. Why didn't they do this? I really wanted them to do this. I want the show in front of me to kind of every moment to get me to the next moment. Like, oh, they set this up and, oh, I think I know what's going to happen, but it didn't. But not go into that looking for the season. Oh, I wonder who's going to die. I heard this person's going to die. This person's going to live. This person's going to get wings. I don't know. Maybe they invent Red Bull. It's the 80s. It's not out yet. So that's my long way of saying, I don't know the theories. I hadn't heard about the Mike and Will theory, but I mean, it makes sense based on Will's, kind of relation or the way Will acted around Mike later on in Stranger Things 4. For us, it's, you know, 'cause we're still early on, but I felt like it ended, you know, it's almost like when he had this conversation with Jonathan, when Will had his conversation with Jonathan, it was like Will was ready to accept it. I think it's been a while. I can't wait to get there. We will get there. Probably won't be till November, but we'll talk about that more then. But again, I think this is definitely something the fans would want. Or I should say the fans. I definitely fans. Some fans would want. Some fans want Mike to stay with 11. Me, I'm more in that lines because they. I feel like they were the love that started all the way back from the first season, from the little high school dance, from the moment that they reunited in Stranger Things 3. It was bitching. And then of course this, when he's like basically tracking her down to the ends of the earth to get to her. We're not there yet, but to me, they, those two, again, assuming everyone survives. Oh my God. Just the thought of it. Just the thought of that just freaked me out. All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's get started on chapter 4. Dear Billy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
So our episode opens up back in California with Owen's people, is that woman and the two other dudes, and they're explaining everything. Well, she's explaining everything that's going on to Jonathan, Mike, and Will, that 11 is now with Dr. Owens to try to help with whatever is going on. They're like, what's killing people in Hawkins? They're like, we're trying to figure this out. And they're like, but we can't contact anyone. So it makes sense. She's like, no, you can't contact anyone in Hawkins. Now you feel, you can only imagine how stressful these three guys, they think nothing of it. They think nothing's going on. The world has been fine for these three guys. Now that Mike's in California, he has no idea what's going on with Chrissy, with Fred, with Max, with the idea of Vecna and Eddie. Like, he is completely in the dark, which, again, they're on their own little adventure. I wish they were all, you know, dealing with the evil together. I feel like we'll get that next season. Can't always get what you want. But, you know, everything's kind of hunky-dory. It's a little weird that all of a sudden Joyce needs to go to Alaska. That's weird, but okay. And then, of course, 11 gets arrested for smashing Angela's stupid face. I think she should be commended, but she's arrested. And that's all they think. They think she's arrested. She's being taken away. We got to deal with this. We can't wait till Mom gets back so we can finally figure everything that's going on. And then out of the blue, these three people show up at their house and, oh yeah, you think everything's fine? Well, guess what? Back in Hawkins, some serious shit's going down. And Dr. Owens actually is with 11. She chose to go with him. And but you can't contact anybody. Now, this is the 80s. So the only real thing they could do is pick up the phone. I guess they could write a letter, but that would take days. And this woman's like, you can't do anything, okay? Because the people in the government think, you know, they're in on this. They're watching her too. They're trying to get to her too. And they're trying to stop what is going on. Like, they're after her. And you cannot, let's say they did write a letter. Well, the government's probably going through their mail. Let's say they did pick up the phone. Well, the government is definitely tapping their phones. We know this already. So she's like, you just have to trust me and trust us. 11 trusted Owens. You should too. And they're like, really? Like, well, how long could it be? Oh, it could be a weeks. It could be months. They're like, what? They're freaking out about that. And the woman is like, here, this is for you. And Mike goes off in a huff and he gets this letter from 11. And there's part of me who is like, oh, we're going to get this long letter with L, you know, a voiceover from Millie Bobby Brown talking about what's going on and what I have to do. And it is one sentence. Dear Mike, I've gone to become a superhero again. From L. Now, there's two things there that there's a yin and a yang. There's a positive and a negative. Obviously, the first one being she's gone. Well, that's not what I mean. Is when she says I've gone to become a superhero again, it's almost like you believed in me. You say I'm a superhero. Well, I'm not. Not anymore. She said, not anymore. I've gone to become a superhero again. Like, I'm going to go be what you say I could be. So there's part of, like, you know, you supported me. There's part of that there. But then she signs it from L. From. Not love. From. And that's a perfect, brilliant little callback to her really being hurt by Mike's letters from Mike. So it's a nice little way to add salt in the wounds. Like, yes, I'm going to do something that needs to be done. You think I can be a superhero? Well, I think I can be too, but I need to go do that. Oh, and by the way, I'm not saying love because you didn't either. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, even though I don't think Mike smokes a pipe from what I can tell. But there's definitely some people in California that smoke something. I'm not going to get into any details, but I think we know what that is. And I love that she just wrote from L. So then we leave Lenora Hills and we go back to Hawkins. That's where we stay for the remainder of this 10-minute block. No more. We don't go to Russia. We don't go to Alaska. We don't go back to California. We stay in Hawkins. We actually are in Hawkins High, where Nancy and Robin just got back from the library, or as I like to say, library, because it just sounds funnier. And they're rushing in, and then we see Max telling them all what she saw. You know, she's in that hallway by all the lockers, and she saw a grandfather clock. Like, a clock. She's like, it was so real. It was right there. But then all of a sudden you realize she wasn't out there at all. She was in a trance. She woke up, and Dustin's like, it was like she was in a trance, exactly like what Eddie said about Chrissy. And then Max is like, but that's not even the bad part. And you realize at this point, Max knows that, you know, she's kind of put two and two together, made connections. And then she goes back and tells all of them that, you know, Chrissy and Fred both came to see Miss Kelly for help. You know, she's back looking in her office, going through her stuff. She mentions that they both had headaches. They both had nightmares. They had trouble sleeping. They were seeing things now. Bad things from their past. And it was worse and worse and worse until it ended for both of them. And Robin says, Vecna's curse. She labels it that. You know, this is what is happening. And then Max goes on to say, you know, for Chrissy, it happened a week ago. And of course, she's dead. Fred, 6 days ago. And of course, now he's no longer with us. And then she says, it's been happening to me for 5 days. And you see the look on their faces. And she's like, looks like I'm going to die tomorrow. And just at that moment, there's boom, there's a little noise. And they're like, oh, you know, something's out there. Steve says, you know, stay here. And he goes out to investigate with a lamp, like a giant lamp. And I love that he says, stay here. And none of them stay. They all follow him into the hall. They all stand behind him. It's like, think about that for a moment. So Steve, the same guy who always talks about, I hate, why am I always with the kids babysitting? You know, he was the jerk at the beginning of this series. And now he is like their protector. Even if they don't need protecting, he feels like he needs to step up. And he's like, he says, stay here. You know, whatever's going on, I'm going to go out there and keep you all safe. But at the same time, they're all like, we appreciate you, Steve, but we're all in this together. Just like Troy and the other people that, you know, sing in a High School Musical. They're all in this together. Troy and, I don't know her name. I want to say Gabriella. If I got that right, you know, then we are truly all in this together. So they all follow him into the hallway, which I love. He doesn't say, what are you doing? He's just focused on this noise that's coming closer and closer and closer. And then boom, around the corner, it's Lucas. They scream, he screams, he's like, it's me. And my first thought is, yes, finally. I've said this before, I love when characters reunite, when they're on the same side, they should be working together, they're off doing their own little quests, and boom, they're finally back together. Lucas has finished his quest. He stayed with them. Basically, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. He'd rather keep an eye on them to keep his friends safe. And he tried to get through to Lucas when he called them through the radio. And then he threw them off the scent by sending them over to Hopper's cabin. But now he's like, listen, he just biked for 8 miles. He's exhausted. And he tells them, listen, Jason, Patrick, and Andy. He's not other guy anymore. Andy has a name. It's Andy. Let's see if I remember it. Maybe by the next time we talk about him, I'll say other guy. But I'm going to say Jason, Patrick, and Andy. Now, Jason Patrick, he's an actor who, in such films as Lost Boys and Speed 2 Cruise Control. So Jason, Patrick, and Andy. And Andy. I think I can remember that now. But he says they're totally gone off the rails. They're looking for Eddie. And they think, he's telling Dustin this, they think you know where he is. And Dustin's like, okay. Yeah, that sucks. But we have bigger problems right now. And without even saying anything, they kind of all glance back at Max. And Max looks like, who, me? You know, like, it's just a moment where nobody speaks. And they don't have to, because they realize, and Lucas realizes, and of course, Max, let's be honest, Max is Lucas's love. Even if Max is pushing Lucas away, Lucas loves her. It's easy to see. I mean, come on. And it's just like, he's looking like, what's going on? And then boom, we get the opening credits. And when I watch these opening credits now, my first thought was, can you imagine how amazing and bittersweet and sad and awesome it's going to feel to hear this song, the opening credits song, at the beginning of season 5? Like, oh my God, it's finally here. Now, when it happened for season 4, I don't think any of us thought, okay, this is it. This is the final season. You know, so you're going and going, I can't believe it's back. Finally, awesome. But now that we know that this is, you know, for all intents and purposes, I believe I got that right. This is the end of Stranger Things as we know it. There may be spinoffs. There will be spinoffs. But it's not this. And that means that for a season premiere, this is, I mean, I don't, I'd assume any other show would use a different theme song. But again, look at what House of the Dragon. They use the Stranger Things. That'd be amazing. They use the Game of Thrones, same song. And I love it, but I don't think you can do that for another Stranger Things song. Now, if they do, I'll probably love it. But for my thought, my thinking, this is when you see the beginning of Stranger Things 5, that is the last time you will see a premiere episode, you know, showing that opening credits. And it's just like, it's going to be amazing. And I'm going to be like, oh, and I get to have turkey tomorrow. It's just going to be absolutely bonkers. I wrote down oofity boofity. That's what I wrote. I took a note. I said, can you imagine how it's going to feel to hear the song at the beginning of Stranger Things 5? Oofity boofity. I don't know if I spelled it right. I don't know if there is a spelling for that. I don't even know if those are words. I don't think they're words, but I wrote oofity boofity. And that is how I feel. So we come out of the credits and it's the next morning. And we're with the amazing Erica, who seems to be busy. She's too busy, Mom, to answer the doorbell. She's busy painting her Dungeons and Dragons little character figures. And she said she's busy, but her mom, you know, she's like, hey, I said answer the door. Finally, she begrudgingly answers the door, and it's the king of the pricks, Jason himself, looking for Lucas. Is Lucas home? I love that she's like, negative, and she goes to slam the door in his face, but he puts a foot out. Wait, no, no. He goes, do you know where he is? Because we were supposed to go out. She's like, go out. He's taking a step down from Max. I love, she's such a little wise ass. She goes to close the door again. This time, he puts his hand on the door to stop it, and they add a little sound effect, like a little thump to make it, and a little music to make it, you know, seem a little more ominous, because it is a little forward for this jerk to be doing this. He's like, hey, yeah, you're the sister who plays Dungeons and Dragons, right? She's like, what's it to you? I love that she does not, even though she gives him a look when he puts his hand out, it's not like, should I be intimidated? It's more like, what the F are you doing? So he says, do you know Dustin Henderson? And she says, know him? I've bled with him. He's like, you know where he is? She's like, oh, chances are he's with your cheater boyfriend. I love that. Like, she's even digging, like, oh, you really want to see Lucas. Maybe your boyfriend's, and you maybe he's with him instead of you. I just love that. She's kind of insulting him, being a wise ass to him. And at the same time, she did give him an answer, though. They're probably together. And then she says, if you do find him, you need to tell him that I've been covering for his ass for 2 days. So that right there gives Jason an idea. Okay, he has been home for 2 days. Something's going on. And she says, you know, he owes me all this money with interest. He's going to be buying me a goddamn Nintendo with Duck Hunt. And I thought, you got to have Duck Hunt. Now, if you know the Nintendo Entertainment System, the original one, I think this kid I knew had it. It came with, I think it just came with Super Mario Brothers and a robot. I don't know what the robot did. It looked kind of cool. It looked almost like Johnny Five. I think it was useless. They finally got rid of the robot, but they kept the gun, the laser, the light gun. And now it used to be all gray, which is a little troublesome because it could be seen as a gun if a kid runs out, cuts the cord off, and runs around with it. So I think by the time I got Nintendo, it came with a dual cartridge of Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, and the phaser, light gun, whatever it was red and gray. Of course, we also had the Sega Master System, my brother and I, and that came with, I think the gun was completely black, which is even more dangerous. It's just like this, never mind a gray plastic gun that maybe looks plastic. You got this, a black plastic gun from far away. You have no idea, but people from the younger generation do not know. My generation grew up with, you know, cap guns that looked like, I think they finally started putting the little orange thing at the end of a cap gun, so that people know it's a toy. There's a little, see that little tiny orange thing? It's a toy, or a little red thing. Of course, when I made a movie, I made sure to rip that thing out or paint it black so that it looked like as real a gun as possible. Probably not, you know, the smartest thing to have that on a college campus when I was in college for a movie we did and shooting cap guns off, you know. But again, this was the 90s. And I remember also having a water pistol that looked like a friggin' AK-47, and it even was like zzz, 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 like it was an automatic water gun. Kind of ridiculous when you think about it nowadays. What am I talking about? Oh, back to the Duck Hunt. Yes, Duck Hunt, you need the gun. And of course, at that point, I think the gun might have still been just gray. Again, this is just me, a kid who grew up on Nintendo. So she finally slams the door in his face. He goes back to the clown car where Patrick and Andy, because I remember his name now, they're like, where the hell's Sinclair? And Jason's like, we're about to find out. We've been tricked, boys. And then he tears out of there. The car tears out. And that's when we see the final two credits for this episode, written by Paul Dichter and directed by the great Sean Levy. So we jump over to the Wheeler house, where we spend the remainder of this 10-minute block. And we're in the basement with Lucas holding a printout or a Xerox copy, or I don't know exactly how they print from microfiche, microfilm. But it's a printout of the Weekly Watcher article. And of course, we see the cover page of the Victor. And I like that Lucas now has been completely caught up. He's smartened up on what's actually going on, or what they believe is going on. Now, Steve is also reading the article, and he's like, do any of you guys understand this? And Lucas is like, no. And Dustin, of course, being the smartest kid in the room, he's like, what's not to understand? He mentions the curse. He mentions how Victor Creel is the only one to survive, so he must know how to beat it. Steve's like, yeah, if it is Vecna, I mean, how could he even be alive in the 50s? Doesn't make any sense. And Dustin's like, why not? As far as we know, Eleva didn't create the Upside Down. She just opened a gate to it. I wouldn't be surprised if it was around for thousands of years, millions. I bet it even predated the dinosaurs. That was enough for Steve. He's like, dinosaurs, what are we talking about here? And they all actually ask good questions, though. Steve and Lucas are like, well, how did Vecna get through the gate then? And how now? And why not? Why just one family and poof, he's gone? You know, Steve's not buying it. But he says to Dustin, because, you know, the way Dustin answers things, like, I don't understand how you guys don't understand it. He's like, maybe show a little humility now and then. And you can see Dustin, he goes, sorry. And it's in a way where it's almost like he has been told this before and he's trying to be better about it, but sometimes he just can't help it. But he caught himself. Oh, yep, right, sorry. But of course, everything Steve is saying, we do get an answer to, you know, right? Like, how come just one family and poof, gone? Because it wasn't exactly Vecna at the time, and he went someplace else, and there didn't have to be a gate, and all that cool stuff, but we'll get there. We'll get there many, many weeks from now. I'm going to say many months from now. There aren't many months left. Many weeks from now, we'll get there. Finally, Dustin looks over and sees Max at a desk. Her back is to them, and they're looking over, and Dustin's like, any idea what she's writing? You know, did she sleep even? And Lucas makes a good point. He's like, would you? And just then Robin and Nancy come down. They seem to be fully working together now, so I like that. They seem to be a friendship growing between them. They come down the stairs. They're like, okay, we have a plan. And Robin explains, with the help of the people, you know, the minions at Nancy's newspaper, they made fake resumes. They are now rock star psychology students at the University of Notre Dame, which, of course, is where the famous Hunchback went to college. It is a college in Indiana, though. A very famous college. Rudy went there. Come on. That's about all I know. Rudy went there, and they're fighting Irish. Their names are Ruth and Rose, and Steve's like, Ruth? And Nancy just gives a little smirk. But Ruth also happens to be the name of the town that Sam Owens and his wife were living in. Ruth, was it Ruth, Nevada, I believe? We see a quick glance of the resume. It says University of Notre Dame, Bachelor of Science in Applied Psychology, pending 112 of 120 credits completed, majoring in Applied Psychology with a blank, I'm going to say a minor, or a focus on criminal psychology with a 3.9 GPA, you know, almost perfection, but just realistic enough to be like, I'm really great, but, you know, I'm not going to give myself a 4.0. And I like that. Dustin says, nice GPA. And Nancy's like, thank you. She says they call Pennhurst Asylum and told them they'd like to speak to Victor Creel for a thesis that they're co-creating on paranoid schizophrenics. They, of course, said no, but they did land a 3 o'clock meeting with the director. And all they have to do is charm him and convince him into letting them talk to Victor. I almost said to Vecna. Vecna, 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 Victor, Victor, Vecna. And Nancy's like, then maybe we can rid Max of this curse. And Steve says, yeah, you know, actually, we've been doing some Victor Creel homework ourselves, and we have some questions. And Lucas is like, yeah, lots of questions. Nancy's like, so do we. Hopefully, Victor has the answers. And then Steve, you know, he's looking at these resumes, and he suddenly realizes there's only two fake resumes. And he's like, oh, wait a second. Where's mine? So boom, we cut. All of a sudden, we're up in Nancy's room with her and Steve. And Steve says, Nancy, you're out of your mind if you think I'm babysitting again. So I'm imagining right when he asked the question, where's mine? Nancy's like, oh, there's only two of us. And he must have been like, can I talk to you alone for a minute? And he goes upstairs and he's like, I'm not babysitting again. And Nancy goes, first of all, they're not babysitters anymore. And Max is in real danger. Okay. She needs people around. He's like, I know, but why does it always have to be me? Then Robin pops into the room and I love it. She goes, oh my God, you have a Tom Cruise poster. And then she's like, wait a second. You have a Tom Cruise poster. Almost like you're like boy crazy. You come off as this, you know, smarter than everyone reporter girl, but you're just, you're into the Brat Pack too. And she's like, oh, that's old. Can you please not touch anything? And of course, Tom Cruise, I never had a Tom Cruise poster, but I feel like I'd have a Tom Cruise poster now because of all the Ethan Hunt movies that I absolutely adore. So, she's looking around. Robin's just kind of messing around with Nancy's stuff. Nancy's like, can you please not touch anything? I don't know what Nancy's looking for. But Steve says, you know, he feels useless. He's like, I can't do anything here. Oh, and that's it. That is time, my friends. So we've kicked off Dear Billy. We're 10 minutes into it. You know, we lost a little bit with the opening credits, but we are off to the races. It seems like Nancy, Robin, Steve, Dustin, and now Lucas are all working together with Max to try to figure out how to break Max from this curse. And they're on a timetable. There's a ticking clock because it seems like it's going to be this day. I mean, remember when it happened to Chrissy, when it happened to Fred, and she says tomorrow, you know. And we're at tomorrow now. So they need to keep an eye on her. At the same time, Robin and Nancy, they're like, our only hope is to go to a mental institution, an insane asylum, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is, a mental asylum, whatever it is. They're going there for a criminal to talk to a man who was convicted of killing his family in hopes that they're right. And we know they are. And we figured they would be. But this is a long shot that they need something. What else do they do? Just watch Max and hope for the best? They need something. So it seems like they're going to go do something and Steve's got to stick behind with the quote unquote kids. And the only other thing that went on in this 10 minutes was of course, Lucas is back with the band, but it's the California. We now know that they know something's going on in Hawkins. They know that Eleven's off with Owens, but they're in this moment where it's kind of powerless and they really can't think of anything to do. They really can't do anything right now. So they just kind of sit there and wait. And the only other thing that happened is we now know that Jason, Patrick, and Andy, they are off looking for Eddie and they think Dustin. Now they're looking for Lucas, and they think Dustin knows where he is. So they're looking for Dustin, and Lucas fills them all in, and Dustin's like, yeah, that's great. But of course, we're more focused on Max, as you and I should be, as everyone should be, as we get finished with these first 10 minutes. A lot happened in 10 minutes, but it's setting up to be an incredible episode, and I can't wait to continue watching it and continue talking about it. But until then, you can follow me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. You can follow us on YouTube at Fans.Experts and on Facebook at Fans.Experts. And you can follow the show on Blue Sky at StrangerDangerPodcast.com. That's because every episode of Stranger Danger can be found at StrangerDangerPodcast.com. That is it. I am done. Thank you, everybody who's continuing to support this show. It's going to be a big couple months. It's going to be a big rest of 2025. Let's be honest. It's going to be a very busy, very exciting rest of the year. And I can't wait to share it all with you guys. So stay stranger, my friends. And remember, it's people like you who support people like me and all of us are the reasons why Stranger Things will stay alive forever.
Fans Not Experts.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.